Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who thinks outside the box and hates cliches, Pete Chwaba.
Hey, hey, Wisconsin. Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to Nightlight, the last Friday of the summer. It is Labor Day weekend, officially. It is here. You are on vacation. You got a long weekend. Rejoice, my friends. Conrad and I will start our weekend in a couple hours, but first, we've got lots to talk about. Lots to do on the show to wrap up the week before we head into this long weekend. Big news here at Nightlight. We will be switching times next week. Starting Tuesday night, we'll have a best of show on the holiday, on Labor Day. And then on Tuesday, we will be in our new time slot, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. We're getting bumped up an hour early, and we will be on the same length. I almost said after the devil. Who is on before us, Conrad? Do we know this?
The Busted Pencils.
Busted Pencils. So they'll be on from 5 to 6?
I believe so.
Okay, fantastic. So we're still following Busted Pencils. Not a whole lot going on there, folks. Nothing to see here, but we will move up an hour. That means Conrad can put his Star Wars pajamas on and go to bed a little earlier.
How'd you know?
I just knew. Boba Fett, right?
It's actually Packers, by the way.
Oh, Packers
pajamas. The only pair of pajama pants I own are Packers.
Oh, chicks love that.
But I got them for a steal. I got them for $8 at Scheels last year. I shop bargains.
You bought Packer pajama pants last year on your own? You didn't get them as a gift. You went out to purchase Packer pajama pants?
It was like a couple days after Black Friday or whatever.
Wow.
And I just saw them. I was like, oh, I got $8. Why not?
This $8 is burning a hole in my
exactly.
pocket.
Exactly.
Okay. I can see that. And it's a big store. It wasn't like, you know, Ross or TJ Maxx or something like that.
They probably would have at one of those stores in a couple days.
Yeah, really, for $4. Great to have you with me tonight. As always, riding shotgun here is Conrad, the K-Man. Con, as he is often called by his friends. And what do your enemies call you? Do you have enemies? I doubt you have enemies.
I don't know what they call me.
You don't know who they are, do you?
Instead of keeping them close, I keep them way far away.
Okay. So you think. Amanda was just here. You don't know what she put in your water. So got a great show for you guys tonight to kick off your holiday weekend. Jeff Mitchell is here. He is the president of the Green Bay Gamblers. That sounds like it should be like a poker club, but it's not. It's semi-pro hockey.
Yeah.
Jeff is the president. And he is also the president of Blue Green Events. And they are putting on Northeast Wisconsin an Old Fashioned Fest here in Northeast Wisconsin. Yep. It's actually called Northeast Wisconsin Old Fashioned Fest.
Yep.
So who doesn't love an Old Fashioned? You know what? I know it's like the state drink, but I think Old Fashions are more, it just seems like more northern in Northeast Wisconsin. Not to pit us against the rest of our awesome state, but I think of like small inland lakes or water skiing or, you know, tubing or just swimming and then having an old fashioned at night in northern Wisconsin.
I agree. One thing I think that is the difference is the way they make it between, you know, definitely in Chicago, they make it way different. But
right.
Yeah, I think that's the reason we have a difference up here in Northeast. It's because we make it different.
You mean we make it different from other parts of the state?
Yeah. Okay. Country, I'd say.
Yeah.
Because if you ask for an old fashioned sometimes, like I went to this place in Milwaukee and it was pretty much pure alcohol.
Oh, wow. Really? What's the name of that place?
I took a sip of it and I was like, whoa, this is not expected.
I love it too. Like, you're right. What you said about when you're in Chicago and you order an old fashioned, they always make a big deal. When they say, oh, we got a ringer, our bartender's from Wisconsin. Like, it's something you can learn how to do, but somehow having a Wisconsin area code or Wisconsin in your blood makes you a better manufacturer of the drink, an old fashioned, which I think is hilarious. But I mean, I'm talking about Northeast Wisconsin and Northern Wisconsin. different than the rest of the state. And maybe it tastes better because of when we typically have old fashions up here in Northeast Wisconsin. We have fish fries, and that is the drink for a fish fry, is an old fashioned.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. And we have fish fries up here. And I know you can go in the southern part of the state, you can find a fish fry, but not like you can in northern or Northeast Wisconsin, for that matter. I know in Marinette right now, where I live, guess how many fish fries are there? Just tonight, Conrad.
100.
4,000.
I was close.
There's only 21 restaurants. I don't know how they did it, but they did it. So we'll talk about that at 7:35 with Jeff Mitchell. He is going to, he will be our expert tonight on old fashions. And I am going to defer to him, because the only thing I know about old fashions is that it's the state drink and they taste delicious. Much better than Shirley Temple's. It's not even close. And then at, guess what, ladies and gentlemen, heading into the weekend too. Every week we do this. It's a Bar Band Friday night. Terry Barr will be here from Max Inc. Radio bringing new music as she does, but it's a little more special this week because it's a long weekend. So we'll talk to Terry at 8:35 like we do every Friday. And I'm going to be honest, this has been a really long week. And I'm not complaining because I like to be busy. But I had another writing deadline this week, which took some time. I dropped my daughter off at school on Wednesday, which was awful. The only thing that got me through it was that she's totally ready for it. And she did a year of junior college, so she's a little older. If I had dropped her off last year, I'd still be in her room in 2 feet of tears. But this was easy. This was not too bad. This was like a little rough, but she's happy, so I'm happy. Then my parents moved out of their house, and they had an auction. And I don't know how they got through that, because the auction company, who did a great job, lists everything that you've kept for your whole life. So, you know, my folks gave us some stuff. The kids, there's five kids. They gave some away if you wanted something. And then they posted everything. And if you wanted something after it was tagged, you had to bid on it. So one of the games we play in my family is Balderdash and another game called Catchphrase. And nobody grabbed those. So I had to bid. Now, I could go out and I don't even know how much a board game costs anymore. Do you have any idea?
I mean, it's not as cheap as you think.
It's not.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Google. I want to know how much Balderdash is. So the opening bid was $2.50. I'm like, all right, I got that kind of money. So I put a bid in and someone outbids me the next day. $5. So I go $7.50. So they go 10. I'm like, it is on. For a 30-year-old game of Balderdash, someone, and we're getting close to where I could just go out and buy a new game. But, you know, it's a family game. It's been in the family for 30 years. It smells like Schwabba. It acts like Schwabba. It's a little beat up like Schwabba. So I put a bid in for $12.50, and I got it. Guess who I was bidding against, Conrad? My wife. My wife and I were outbidding each other for Balderdash, and we had no idea.
Well, I'll tell you, you got it for a good price, actually.
$12.50.
The cheapest I saw it on Google is $16. So,
and that's probably used?
Yeah. And okay. There was one at Amazon for $54.
$54 for a board game?
Yeah.
It's insanity. But here's the thing. Like, I paid $12.50 for this board game, but it doesn't even have the actual pieces. Like, and Catchphrase is the same way, because the games were lumped together. So Catchphrase, you get these little pieces, but we lost the pieces like 15 years ago. So we use like a quarter, a piece of popcorn, like a button, like, and that's what I'm bidding on. But I got it. I outbid my wife.
Well, good for you, Pete.
It is. Mess with me. We have the same bank account, but it doesn't matter. But it is weird. It is weird when you see an auction and it's like for my parents, it's their whole life. And everybody sees their name on the auction and all the stuff they've had, a lot of it their whole lives. My dad's got Marine Corps sweatshirts and, you know, they've got books about philosophy and, you know, the Kennedys and Jesus and all these books and golf clubs. And it's, you know, where they went to college, Marquette. I'm just like, I don't know what it must have been like. It must have been like looking at their whole lives. I don't think I could look at the auction if all my stuff was on there. And then, of course, you see stuff that you forgot to grab. It's like, oh, I wanted that. Oh, I should have got that. But you can't, you know, can't drop $5,000 on your parents' auction. That would be weird. So So that's my week. And I stopped by my parents' house last night. Everything is cleaned out. The auction is over. My wife said people were there like vultures, just rummaging through the house, grabbing my parents' stuff and take. It's very emotional. I don't know if you've been through that, if you're listening, but please share your experiences if you have. Because it was, for me, it was very emotional. Drop my daughter off at college and then see my parents' house that they've been in for 25 years where they, you know, hosted grandkids and families and all kinds of family events. Awful. But you know what? Good problems to have. Right, K-Man?
Right.
What's the alternative? Right?
Good point.
My daughter's going to stay in the house for another 20 years. I'm going to give her an allowance.
There we go.
Do that. I'd like to. I'd 25 like to have her cents. Around. She makes me laugh. Anyone who makes me laugh can stay at my house as long as they want. If you're not making me laugh, hit the road, pal. I'm kidding. Conrad, you make me laugh. Hey, our question for the night, we got to get this. Speaking of auctions, okay, this was interesting. Indiana Jones, this hat that he wore in, Harrison Ford wore this hat in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. You showed me this thing from, help me say the name of this website. It's not Puberty.
It's Puberty?
It is Puberty?
It's Puberty.
It's really weird.
Pubit?
Why would you name a website that?
I don't know, but they're a great news source.
They've got their reason. Are they?
Yeah, they are. I don't know why they named it.
Who else broke the Harrison Ford hat story?
Exactly.
The news that affects you. Here's why this doesn't affect you is because Harrison Ford's hat was auctioned off. Someone paid $630,000 for the hat he wore in the Temple of Doom. Probably still has his sweat stains on it. His stuntman owned it for years. The stuntman passed away, so they auctioned off 630,000 big ones. So that's our question tonight. What Hollywood item or relic would you pay big money for if you could, if you had the money? I'm going to think about this over the break, and I'm going to come back and give my answer. Conrad, that's your homework. Think about it. We'll give our answers when we come back. Jeff Mitchell is here at 735. We're talking old fashions. It's a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr is here. So much fun on Nightlight, as always, as we head into this long weekend. Relax, people. You've earned it. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Sherry checks in and says, good evening, Pete and Conrad. Good evening, Sherry. Great to have you with us on this Friday night. Just to reiterate, we will be, Nightlight will be airing starting next Tuesday. Instead of from 7 to 9, we will be moving up an hour. Our show will be on from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Same show, same fun, just starting an hour earlier and ending an hour earlier, 6 to 8 p.m. Those are our new hours, and that starts next Tuesday, where I will be doing the show from Madison. So hopefully we will, you guys will join us from. What do you think? How does that work for you, Conrad? Is it harder to produce a show when I'm not here?
No, it's not. It's a little. It's a little stressful sometimes, is but that, not harder.
Okay. All right. I guess that makes me feel a little better. All right, Jeff Mitchell.
No, Pete, never leave.
Jeff Mitchell will be here at 7:35 to talk about old fashions. We'll talk a little Green Bay Gamblers hockey. High school football kicks off tonight. This is some schools may have already started, but where I live in the Marinette area, they have like the oldest high school football rivalry, Marinette, Wisconsin, Menominee, Michigan. I want to say maybe in the country, but definitely in the Midwest. It's like 150, 160 years before they even had football, Conrad. I don't know how they pulled that off, but it's the oldest rivalry. So that kicks off tonight. I couldn't believe that. I was like, I know it's the last weekend of summer, but I'm still not ready for like high school football. I know the Badgers play tonight.
Yep, against Western Michigan.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
They did not even crack the top 25. This has to be the first year in a long time where the Badgers weren't like even like 24, 22, you know?
I mean, last year is a disappointment, so I'm hoping hoping Luke Fickell can do something better this year.
He seems a little fickle.
You know what? I was thinking, so that rivalry, you know?
Yeah.
What if, I don't know what the wins are at, but whoever gets to 1,000 first takes that part.
So they only go 800 more years for a high school football rivalry? Good Lord.
Whoever wins gets the upper.
That's something to shoot for. First one to 1,000. Even the best out of 1,000. First one to 501.
We need to get it back.
Yeah. I was driving here tonight, and I pulled over to get gas, and this guy, why do people do this? On the motorcycle is loud enough, okay? You accept that it's a motorcycle. Although I know some guys try to make them louder just on purpose, just to be that guy. But this guy was cranking the song Girls, Girls, Girls from like 1987. I think it's like Dwight Twilley or something like that. On this guy's motorcycle, it was 1988. He had the bandana on. He had his tune cranking for all of Green Bay to hear. I don't get it, man. And you know what? As annoyed as I was, I'm like, what's this guy's deal? I kind of felt sorry for him. Like, he got on the bike in his driveway, probably scrolled through his playlist to find that song so he could make that kind of impression when he pulled into the Shell station. That's so much work.
Well, guess what? He's got you thinking about it.
He's got me talking about it.
Exactly.
What song would you crank?
That's a tough one.
Yeah. Something Springsteen. I would just go Springsteen.
I guess whatever my favorite song is at that time.
Okay. Very diplomatic answer. And it's serendipitous too, because Conrad's mom is checking in. I miss my Wisconsin old fashioned and fish fries. Well, Paula, no one told you to move to Florida.
That's right.
Did someone tell her to move to Florida? I got that right, right? I'm not like
you got it right.
Your mom.
You got it right.
Come back, Paula. We'll have a fish fry. We'll do a whole fish fry here at WGBW. We'll broadcast it. We'll do a remote from our own studio, and we'll have old fashions and fish fries. I think that would be fun.
That's great radio.
And fish fries are great too, because I mean, people do them all year round, but you can do them like in the summer. In the summer, they taste the best, I think. After you're on the lake, swimming. Like at my grandma's place in Three Lakes, we would literally run off the pier 100 times and catch a football or a frisbee. I was too young for old fashions, but I watched the adults drink them. And it was fun. So how are you doing with that show, Bad Monkey? Because I'm behind. Oh, yeah. I watched two episodes. Are you still totally into it?
Yeah, I'm up to date on it.
Okay.
The fourth episode like hooked me back in. I'm like, I have to wait another week.
Really?
Yeah, it's... I think it's really good.
Is there any like, it's kind of, I got to be honest. I thought it was kind of slow. The first two episodes.
It does start out slow.
But it picks up.
Well, they're really trying to follow the book, I believe.
Okay.
And
that's a book?
Yeah.
Wow.
After the season's done, I'll probably actually read it.
Then you'll have Vince Vaughn. You'll be thinking about Vince Vaughn.
Exactly.
Okay. That's how you like it. All right. I'm going to stick with it. I just haven't watched it. I've been going home and still working at night. So I'm sort of behind on my TV watching. But I did start A Fistful of Dollars with Clint Eastwood because I saw that Quentin Tarantino had mentioned that movie in an article. He was being interviewed. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I saw it as a kid, and I didn't know if it held up. So I started to watch it because it's one of that and For a Few Dollars More. And I can't think of the third film, our Quentin Tarantino's favorite trilogy, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. So I'm going to give that a shot, but I just wasn't feeling it the other night. And then I thought about Bad Monkey. So it's a quandary. When you don't know what to watch at night, you're just kind of a lost soul. So I'm hoping tonight I'll get it back.
You know what movie I haven't seen yet, actually, and I just started watching yesterday? Knocked Up.
Oh, yeah.
With Seth Rogen.
You love Seth Rogen.
I've never seen it either.
How is it?
So far, I haven't seen it. I got like 30 minutes into it.
And?
So far, it's pretty funny.
But you stopped at 30 minutes?
Yeah, I kind of fell asleep.
I'll tell you this. That was the best advertising campaign I've ever seen. I Judd Apatow movies, I like them, but they're kind of jokey. I don't love them, but the guy has had tremendous success and people were salivating over him in the early 2000s. And I think I told you, I went to meet a friend of mine who had just become a studio executive. It was his first job and I was pitching him an idea. And he had an office in the same on the same floor as Judd Apatow's company. And I'm in the middle of a sentence and my friend looks over my shoulder and he goes, "Oh, there he is. There's Judd Apatow." I'm like, "Oh yeah, okay." And I turn back and I start talking. He's still looking at Judd Apatow. This is like a man crush like I've never seen before in my life. He watches Judd Apatow until Apatow goes into the bathroom and then he's still watching the door as it closes and he goes, "He's going to take a piss." I'm like, dude, it was just the most bizarre. It was like out of a Coen Brothers movie. I'm like, he probably sees him every day because they share office space on the same floor. But this was like, it was so rude. Anyway, Seth Rogen's face on that billboard and then the phrase that just said, "What if this guy got you pregnant?" And he had that kind of dumb look on his face. It was brilliant. So I don't know if the movie's as good as the ad campaign, but the ad campaign was brilliant. Hey, we're talking old fashions tonight. It's a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr from Max Inc. Radio will be here at 8:35, bringing us new music and lots of fun conversation like she does every week. And in just a couple minutes, we are going to talk old fashions with Green Bay Gambler President Jeff Mitchell. And that should be fun. It's going to make you want an old fashioned, so you're not going to want to miss this. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Civic Media Radio Network. To our last Friday night show here at Nightlight, summer officially ends this weekend. Not, you know, officially, but not in our hearts. We can carry on summer if we want to, but we are heading into the long weekend here. Terry Barr is here at 8:35. It's a Bar Band Friday. And right now, this is exciting. And what better night of the week to do this? We're going to talk some old fashions. And joining me here in the studio is the president of the Green Bay Gamblers, and somewhat, hopefully, of a old-fashioned expert, since you're putting on the big event. Jeff Mitchell joins me. Hey, Jeff.
Pete, I've had 5 of them today already. Post up for this.
What better way to prepare?
You were saying it's Wisconsin's drink, right? The old-fashioned.
It's the absolute. I think the governor made it the official state drink, right?
I guess.
So, and I don't know. Is it brandy or whiskey?
So what we do with the Old Fashioned Fest, just to give you a little background. Yeah. So we did one back in April.
Okay.
So our group got together and we said, you know, we've had a lot of success with our Craftoberfest, which we do in October. It's Green Bay. Obviously, people like their booze. Like, let's do an old-fashioned fest. And we got about, I think we had 11 bars participate. And what we do is we do two categories. One is the Wisconsin old-fashioned, where they'll choose either bourbon or brandy, and then they can do the sweet, the sour.
Yeah.
And then the other categories, it's the new one. And the bar can make whatever they want. So okay. It's like an old fashioned, but you know, they had with mezcal or vodka and that got pretty funky. Like there was some, they're mixologists and they did a really right. Nice job. So, it's a really cool event. And, again, you figure, you're sampling old fashions for 3 hours.
What could be better?
It's called an Uber ride.
Yeah, right. So it's all, it sounds like at some point, maybe they're not even old fashions. They're just mixing drinks. Well, How true do they stay?
True, very true.
Okay.
Like they're you know, that's their pride. It's just we say, hey, put your own spin on it.
Oh,
and they
so
do
great.
The bitters and the syrups. And, you know, we had Chives Restaurant who actually won one of the old fashioned categories, but they like infused bacon.
Oh,
They had like a bourbon that they infused bacon in, and then they put the bacon in the drink. And it was really cool. And, you know, I think the Legacy Hotel did like a marshmallow, like it was a campfire type thing. You know, another bar we had did jalapenos. Like, they got really creative. So, But yeah, it's a fun little event. You know, it's good food, and for the fall one, we'll have 13 bars participating. And again, we encourage people to come out. And if you like old fashions, this is right up your alley.
I don't know when this happened, but we were talking to someone who was here last week, Conrad. It was Cheese Curd Fest in Madison, and they had blue cheese and bacon cheese curds, and then they had a whiskey tent. So you drank whiskey with cheese curds. I was on an intermittent fast. I was literally salivating, thinking, when did bacon start making its way into booze? Know.
It's bacon, right? Bacon's everything.
Hard to go wrong.
It's like beer. Like, it's who doesn't like bacon?
So, all right, so you got 13 bars. How does that work? So it's not all under one. I was thinking it was at the Resch Center for some reason, but you go to different bars. It's like a crawl kind of?
No, it's at the Expo. Okay. So it's on the second floor of the Resch Expo, the new facility, which is connected to the Resch across from Lambeau Field. And to give you a little visual of the Expo up floor, it's like a horseshoe.
Okay.
So we put the 13 bars, they each have a booth. And you basically, it's just in a horseshoe, so you hit them all. So it's one location, and you just go bar to bar to bar to bar to bar. Then there's food stations. We have a couple, we bring in a couple vendors who sample, like J. Henry, really cool. Actually, last time around, we had Uncle Nearest. And Uncle Nearest is the first African-American distillery in the U.S.
Oh, wow.
So
here in Green Bay?
No, it's in Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
But through our friends of Badger Liquor who distribute that, you know, they've reached out to these people. They're like, hey, we want to be involved in that. Like Barron's Brandy. Charlie Barron's had his brandy there, which you could sample. So, you know, along with trying the old fashions, you also have these other opportunities. And, you know, our chef over at the Resch Center is phenomenal. She puts out a great spread. And, again, we didn't know what to expect the first time going into it, but the feedback we got was great, and I think people really enjoyed themselves.
How do you do? Do you encourage people to get in their cars then and race home, or how does that work? You got like Ubers waiting outside.
There are laws, and it is a 21 year and over event. So, no, like, you know, people have fun. I mean, I don't. It's not a ground and pound type crowd.
Yeah, it's old fashioned. Yeah. It's not like a keg of beer. When they do this, Jeff, are they taking samples? Like you go to every place, it's a small sampling, or do you have a full drink?
No, it's about a 5 ounce cup. We encourage them to put 2 ounces of booze, you know, make your old fashioned. I mean, they'll put the garnish in there, et cetera. So again, it's about probably 2 ounces a sample.
Perfect.
Times 13, times two. I mean, it adds up. Times two, 52 if you're counting. But yeah, I mean, again, people just enjoy it. It's a 3 hour event. And then how we decide on who gets the best in glass. So Pete, if you come, when you check in, we're going to give you 3 poker chips. So you bet on, you sample them and you put your chip into the fishbowl of the booth. So you say, hey, I really liked the Lost Key bourbon. So you'd put your chip in that fishbowl, and then whoever has the most chips in the category wins. Nice. So that's kind of how we do it.
That's fun.
Yeah. So again, you know, the best in glass, sure, they want to win it, but it's more about just, you know,
community
introducing their product. And you know, these bars are local, the distilleries are local. The other thing we want them to do is we really want them to push their venue. Like, hey, if you're doing music on Tuesday nights, or you have this type of, you know, the fish fry, etc., like, this is really about them getting some ROI after the fact, along with showcasing their mixology skills.
Right. So it's the Northeast Wisconsin Old Fashioned Fest. It's September 21st at the Resch Center. What time does it happen? Do people need to get tickets ahead of time, or do they just show up?
So you can, it's from 6 to 9 p.m.
Okay.
The Resch Expo, second floor, which is our Nicolet Bank upper level. Tickets are available right now. You can get them at TicketStarOnline.com. You search Old Fashioned Fest, it'll lead you right to it. Okay. You can also purchase them at the Resch Center box office. We do have tickets available. The first time we did in April, the event sold out in like an hour.
That does not surprise me at all. I mean, it sounds like a really fun time.
So it sold out in an hour because we capped it at 300. This go around, we've added to the attendance, so we will get more people. There are tickets available. They do go fast, so we do encourage people.
And how much are the tickets?
They're $95. Okay. And then if you're the designated driver, it's $35.
Oh, that's nice.
But again, if you're $95, you eat, you drink, you have a good time.
3 hours.
Three hours?
That's like $31.50 an hour. That's not too bad.
It's like 79 cents an ounce.
And the designated drivers still have to pay to get in. Can they drink?
They can do it. Well, they want to try it.
Yeah, you're just designated the one to get the ticket if we get pulled over. Is it? No,
you're the DD. I think they get a special wristband. But hey, if a DD wants to break into granddad's old medicine chest and try a couple, I don't think anyone's going to call the cops.
You're not making a citizen's arrest.
No.
How do you like an old-fashioned, Jeff? Do you go brandy? Do you go whiskey?
So, Pete, I got to be honest. Like, you know, I'm from Minnesota. You know, not as it's old-fashioneds are there, but not quite like Wisconsin.
Okay.
I drink Busch Light.
That's sweet kinda, or sour.
Yeah, the peach, the apple. But it's funny, like, I tried a couple at the event, and I think one was like the traditional Chicago style without the sweet or the sours, like booze and bitters.
That's what a Chicago style
old-fashioned
is?
I guess so. I guess that's what a Chicago style one is, but that's a traditional old-fashioned.
Oh, wow.
And I taste it, and it's like I look like I saw a dead body. I'm just like, it's really good.
I like, when I get it, I like the, and I haven't, I've talked about this. I just kind of took a break from drinking whiskey. I like whiskey so much. I like right now it's been 20 months, Jeff. I'm just seeing a big glass of whiskey when I look at you.
Hey, you deserve it.
But I love a whiskey old fashioned. Like I just think, and with mushrooms, and I know people, sometimes they have an orange or cherries or whatever it is, but is there a more popular old fashioned, or what do the vendors typically serve it at your event?
You know, for this, so each vendor will choose whether they're going to do a bourbon or a brandy.
Okay.
And it's like right down the middle. So like, you know, we have six who did a bourbon, six who did a brandy. I got to believe and again, I'm sure, you know, people who are in the old fashioned game will correct me if I'm wrong. I would think bourbon's probably more of the way to go, but
okay.
I think either way, you can't lose, right? You throw in the bourbon, the brandy, some sour, some sweet, and orange.
I didn't even realize it was bourbon. I thought it was just like, you know, or specifically bourbon. I thought it was like any kind of whiskey.
It is.
Okay.
It can be whatever. So for us, we, in that category, they use Maker's Mark for bourbon and then Copper and Kings for brandy. But yeah, if you could put Kessler's in there or whatever, I think you want to.
That's kind of how I feel. When you have that much extracurricular stuff going into the glass, Kessler's is fine.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, there's better whiskeys, certainly. But so you're a Busch Light guy. If you had to have a cocktail, what would it be?
You know, it's funny. I'd probably do like a Harvey Wallbanger.
Oh, yeah.
Throwing it way back. The big bottle, the Galliano.
What's in that again?
So it's Galliano and orange juice.
Oh, wow.
And it was big back in the 60s. Like,
yeah.
I remember my dad would tell me my grandma would have Harvey Wallbanger parties.
Right.
But I figure I always, when I go to a bar and you see that, I'd be like, I want to be the guy that orders that because it's the tall bottle in the back. But yeah, I'd say a Harvey Wallbanger, Tom Collins.
Tom Collins. Somebody ordered a Tom Collins like 2 years ago. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe you just said that. Like I hadn't, same thing with a Harvey Wallbanger. I had not thought of a Tom Collins in decades.
Throwing it back. It's
absolutely
retro, man. But
what about a martini?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Probably just, I'd just do a shot. Say put a shot of vodka in there and some olives and give me the glass and I'll just carry it around to look, you know, professional and intelligent.
Hoity-toity.
Yeah.
Busch Light in one
shaking
hand.
Shaking that stirred, right?
Yeah, exactly.
007. But so, story about that.
Yeah.
So I was watching Food That Built America, and they were talking about martinis. And the people who owned one of the vodka, it might have been Smirnoff, but they actually paid the studio for the James Bond movies for him to have a vodka martini.
Oh, really?
They bought into that.
It's like the first product placement.
Yeah.
No kidding.
So they bought it because they're like, hey, we want him to be drinking a vodka martini. So they paid God knows how much back then. But yeah, it did. And they talked about all their sales just blew up. But it's on
Genius.
The History Channel. Yeah, The Food That Built America. And it was a thing on Booze.
That's
they
so
said
brilliant.
That. So I was like going, man, that's just genius.
That's fantastic.
Genius. How about you? What do you drink? I know you're talking to whiskey, but.
Yeah, I like whiskey straight up. Neat, you know, and maybe like a good Irish whiskey, like Tullamore Dew.
Yeah, it's good.
Or Bushmills, although I guess I'm not supposed to like Bushmills because I grew up Irish Catholic and not, I guess Bushmills is from Northern Ireland, but it's good stuff. I like good scotch too. And when I lived out west, you could get, Trader Joe's had a bottle of 12-year-old scotch that you could get for less than $20, and it was great. Now you need two of them to last the night, but I'm kidding. So I like a good, but you know, as far as cocktails go, I love a good martini, love an old fashioned. If I'm having a fish fry, I really do like that combination, but There's so many good drinks. And talking about drinking helps me not drink, believe it or not. It's fun to talk. It's fun to talk about.
But you know, you guys were talking about just the fish fries and, yeah, and the old fashions. I mean, I think that's what makes Wisconsin really a cool
Absolutely.
Place to live. And I think, you know, when the draft comes here in April, I think a lot of people are going to kind of discover fish fries and supper clubs and, yeah, and things like that, which, you know, that's just, it's unique to our area, but it's really a cool thing. And old fashioned fest is just a way to celebrate that.
I think it's a great way. And I said this at the top of the show, Jeff, like to celebrate specifically Northeast Wisconsin or Northern Wisconsin, because even when you are south, further south in the state, like you can find fish fries, but they're not like up here.
Yeah.
And that combination of, or that just that experience of being on a lake all day and then having a fish fry and an old fashioned, man, forget it. It's great. So, all right. So it's Old Fashioned Fest, Northeast Wisconsin Old Fashioned Fest. It takes place September 21st. Can people get tickets now?
They can.
Okay.
Ticketstaronline.com. Go to the site on the upper right hand corner. Just type in Old Fashioned Fest. Take you right there. Then you can also purchase at the box office. The box office open Monday through Friday, 10.
Great deal. 10 supports local businesses. It sounds like a fun event. And we'll talk when we come back. We'll do a quick thing here. We'll talk some Green Bay Gamblers and
sure.
whatever other events you want to talk about here at event.
I appreciate it. Thanks for
having
me. Yeah,
it'll be fun. And I want to ask you at some point what you're watching on TV, because that's kind of what we do here too. So Jeff Mitchell is here. He's the president of the Green Bay Gamblers. And we're talking old fashions. And we'll talk a little hockey when we come back here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And it breaks my heart when a teardrop falls.
Talking hockey with Jeff Mitchell, and I love talking about things that I don't know that much about, and I love talking about them with people who are really passionate about it and are in the know. So you were telling me kind of, Jeff Mitchell is my guest. He's the president of the Green Bay Gamblers, a local semi-pro?
We're the United States Hockey League, so we're tier one. Our kids are 16 to 20 years of age. They're amateur. Their goal is to move on to go to college, and then we also have kids who will sign and go right into pro hockey after they leave Green Bay.
Wow.
So, actually, it was really cool. This couple months ago, I was in Vegas for the NHL draft. One of our former players went 2 overall to the Chicago Blackhawks.
Really?
Artie Levshonov. So, no, our league is really good. We have kids from all over the world, and this year we have 4 NHL draft picks on our roster.
No kidding.
Yeah, we've done a really good job of moving players and our coaches, too. John Cooper has won 2 Stanley Cups. He's head coach in Tampa Bay.
Mm.
Derek Lalonde is with the Detroit Red Wings. He's their head coach. Then Mike Leone, who was our head coach last year, just got a job in the American Hockey League with the Rochester Americans, which is the top farm team of the Buffalo Sabres. So we've really done a good job, and we're proud of, you know, the advancement not only of our players but also of our coaches.
So just to go back, I know because I listen to sports radio, I know Connor Bedard is the Blackhawk, kind of the young hot shot. So now they got this other guy who went over number 2 overall.
Yeah.
Why doesn't Wisconsin have a pro hockey team? Is it as big here as it is in Minnesota?
No. I mean, the state tournament in Minnesota is, you know, they sell at the XL Energy Center at 18,000. You know, my hometown of White Bear, like our venue, we'd get 3,000 people at our game. So that's, you know, we're one of probably 40 communities in the Twin Cities that's doing that. You know, I think Wisconsin, I think the Packers are just so predominant.
Mm.
I mean, Wisconsin does have a good hockey history, but just nothing compared to Minnesota.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know. Like, Milwaukee's kind of one of those markets you're like, you know, you got the Pfizer, et cetera. But it's just with Chicago right there, you know, you're kind of, people have the ability to go down to Chicago.
Right.
Let's put it this way, Pete. I don't foresee Milwaukee getting an NHL team.
I just
don't see it.
What you just said reminded me. Conrad, who are we talking about hockey with? I think there's a law in the NHL that you can't have a team within 100 miles of another city or something. And that might be part of what prevents Milwaukee because of the Blackhawks, maybe? Does that sound
there,
right?
There are some restrictions. Like, you have Ottawa and Toronto, but I believe when Ottawa came in, I think they had to actually pay Toronto a fee.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I just think Milwaukee's just not a very big market.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you have expansion, Houston's like the third biggest media market in the U.S.
Yeah.
Okay, there's an opportunity there. Utah, obviously, has just got the Arizona Coyotes. You know, there's a couple markets up in Canada, like Quebec City, who'd like to get their franchise back. But again, does the NHL want to expand? It's got to make sense. And I think right now they're pretty set on what they have.
Absolutely. And, you know, the great thing about hockey is what I know of my friends who played hockey. Their hockey fans are so passionate. When I moved to Wisconsin when I was in junior high, I thought hockey was like the state sport because of a small group of guys that were so passionate. But I realized, oh, that's just them. But they're so passionate about it. What do you, running a team like the Gamblers, and do you get families there? And why is that? It seems like that's almost a better deal for families than going down to Chicago or Minnesota to shell out $1,000. Or what is it going to cost a family to go to, a family of four to go to a hockey game? $600?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to Chicago or Minnesota, you're probably $1,000 into it when you talk about travel back and forth. And, you know, for us, hey, we got a great product on the ice, but we're also selling entertainment. It's wiener dog races. It's Teddy Bear toss. It's the dollar beer night. It's the family nights. It's the skate with the kids after. I mean, we know we're a hockey team, but Pete, if I asked 20 people, hey, who was the first round pick in the NHL entry draft this year? 19 would say, I don't know. And if I said, who's the special teams coach for the Packers? They'd be like,
oh, yeah.
They don't. So I just think for us, we're selling entertainment.
Right.
You know, we know our kids are phenomenal, and that's great. But it's like we want a family to come and go, hey, I didn't even know what the score was. It doesn't matter. But I had a great time. I like dancing. I caught a T-shirt.
Right.
And the parents are going, we did it for under $50.
Wow. So how long have you been there, Jeff?
I've been there since 2004.
And is that when you came to Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So prior to coming here, I worked for a gentleman named Butch Johnson, who owns Johnson Timber up in northwest Wisconsin. And he had owned hockey franchises in Iowa and Kansas. And then he had sold his investments at a couple of those teams, and a position opened in Green Bay, and we moved here. And PMI is a great company. You know, we do a lot of fun things, and it's a great group to work for.
So hockey tickets just went on sale, right? August 22nd on your website. So where can people get tickets to the Gamblers?
Yeah, go to our website at gamblershockey.com. You can go to ticketstaronline.com. You know, very affordable. We offer groups. We do some beverage inclusive stuff. In fact, we got to get you there. We got to get you there to be like, hey,
be great.
Throw you in the party pit. You're all set.
I like the sound of that. Do I have to drink it old fashioned?
No, I think it's Bud Light. Bud Light, Busch Light, or Mick Ultra.
I can muscle something down. Oh, yeah. So that's cool. So how much are tickets? Like, what am I looking at if I wanted to take my kids or somebody?
I think our tickets are as cheap as $14. You know, on our family nights, the kids get like a $5 discount. We have beverage inclusive seating where it's soda, beer, and water free all game. I think those are like 27, somewhere in that area.
Okay.
So yeah, it's an affordable night out. I mean, it really is. You're not going to break the bank. And again, we pride ourselves on the entertainment. Like the game's great, but it's also the intermissions and the music and everything that goes into it.
Is there a Conrad discount? Can you get Conrad in?
We'll get Conrad in.
Student discount or something like that. Do you like hockey, Conrad?
I actually went to a game this past year. And it was a lot of fun.
Okay, what was the league or at the Gamblers? You mean?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what did that set you back?
It was actually free. My friend got me a ticket.
You're not putting any money in Jeff's pocket when you're.
It's all right, Conrad.
I got some.
You invited me on the show, bro. I appreciate it.
Okay, so you're getting something out of this.
Something, but yeah, and you know that's kind of like the same mindset we have with like just old-fashioned fest. Hey, what kind of event can we do that's going to be fun, isn't going to break the bank?
Right.
You know, and it's something that's unique. You know, I know Wild Rose does an unbelievable old-fashioned fest in the summer, but there's, you know, we just kind of thought we found niche that really didn't exist. And like you said, such an iconic drink and kind of who we are. And it really celebrates that.
Do you have more and more girls are playing hockey?
Yeah. I have two daughters who play.
I was just going to ask you, all right. So can you stick around for a couple more minutes? We'll talk about, I want to ask you about Meat Fest. Okay. That sounds awesome at Green. Is it Green Blue Events? Am I getting that right?
So that's Blue Green. Yep.
Blue Green Events. Okay. So we're going to talk Meat Fest with Jeff next. And I'd love to hear about your daughter's experience with hockey because it's girls are wrestling now too. It's so cool.
It's awesome.
It's great. So, and we'll talk a little TV too. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight. Jeff Mitchell's here from the Green Bay Gamblers. So we're hanging out on a Friday night on the Civic Media Radio Network.